How darest you, child, defy your father? Written by 429 Car Crash and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic that is set in the Hunger Games universe. Natasha opens her eyes. She hadn't expected to ever do that again, but here she is, laying on her back, looking up at the sky. Still alive, apparently. Ugh, she mutters to herself quietly, taking stock of the aches and pains running through her body. It isn't as bad as it should be, and someone has clearly treated her while she was unconscious. But that just means she has an entirely different set of things to worry about. Who, and why, and what they might want from her in return. She doesn't have to wonder about the who for very long, as the slight, quiet girl from District 8 shows up before Natasha's been awake for more than a dozen minutes. Natasha and the girl stare warily at each other for a heartbeat before the girl reaches into her bag, pulls out a piece of dried meat, and offers it to Natasha. She doesn't want to trust it, but her stomach is painfully empty, and if the girl wanted to hurt or kill her, she'd had ample opportunity to do so before Natasha woke up. Thanks, she says quietly, before starting to gnaw on the jerky. The girl nods, short and sharp, before settling back against the wall and eating her own hunk of food, eyes darting around their surroundings the entire time. Once Natasha's done eating, she carefully maneuvers herself up to a sitting position and gazes around. They're on top of one of the buildings, which makes Natasha wonder how the other girl managed to get her up here. It's a very defensible position, though, and Natasha approves. Clear sightlines and no way for anyone to sneak up on them. A perfect place to relax for a minute and have a little informal information-gathering conversation. The girl hasn't moved again from her seated position on the opposite side of the roof, though she's definitely watching Natasha at this point. Natasha's assumption is that she wants something from Natasha in exchange for giving her medical care and food, but she hasn't asked for anything or proposed any kind of trade. She hasn't said anything at all, in fact, which is interesting. And also means Natasha should probably be the one to break the surprisingly comfortable silence. Ugh. Hey, she starts, then coughs, trying to get the croakiness out of her voice. You're Cass, right? The girl gives Natasha another one of those short, sharp nods, but still doesn't say anything. Which, okay, maybe she can't talk, like the Avoxes, but verbal communication isn't the only way to have a conversation. My name is Natasha. Thank you for helping me, she says, enunciating her words more clearly than she usually does, and signing with her hands at the same time. Cass watches her hands, but doesn't seem to comprehend their meaning based on the way she simply shrugs in response. Natasha bites her lip, thinking. Maybe the sign language Natasha is using is specific to District 9. She'd learned it for Clint, but it had certainly come in handy to communicate with anyone who'd lost some or all of their hearing in the din of the factories. It's possible that other districts don't have that kind of workaround established. Or maybe they do, and Cass just hasn't had the opportunity or desire to learn sign language. Whatever the situation, Cass doesn't seem too fussed about it, and she doesn't seem too fussed about setting terms around whatever this thing is between her and Natasha either. Are they friends? Allies? At the very least, there's an obvious truce between them. Cass isn't trying to kill Natasha, which makes her unusual in this arena full of children trying to kill other children. Natasha thinks about it for half a second more before mentally shrugging. She scoots over across the rooftop to sit closer to the other girl and holds out her hand with an attempt at a smile. Friends? Cass grins back at her, a fierce, predator's kind of grin that perversely makes Natasha feel even more comfortable, then takes her hand and shakes it once in agreement. The sun slips down over the horizon, and they lean against each other and watch as the day's fatalities beam out against the sky. It's a list that doesn't include Natasha. For the first time since the reaping, possibly for the first time in years, she lets herself feel a sliver of hope. The end.